I'm Antonia, and welcome to Mommy Matters Wind Down Podcast. I believe as mothers, we shouldn't let motherhood stop us from pursuing our dreams, being true to ourselves, and living our best lives. Our journey through motherhood shouldn't be one we're judged on, but instead celebrated and supported. Join me as we wind down and talk about our journeys. So I just wanted you to share a little bit about Cherry Blossom Intimate.
Sure. So thank you guys so much for coming and joining us this evening. This is really special and moving, and I think it's so important for us to have a space where we can have a sister circle and just talk about these things. I don't know any other place in this area that does that. So I'm so grateful that y'all made that here. But Cherry Blossom Intimate is more than just a lingerie store. It's more than a bra shop. It's a place for women to gather and to talk about important issues and to learn about breast health. We help women who've had breast cancer to find bras and prosthetics, and we house that within a space where everyone can shop together. We're size inclusive. We carry sizes extra small through 5X, and for bras, 28 through 54 band and AA through N cup. Yes. But we help all women, and we just feel it's so important for us to be able to gather and be able to spend time together and to not leave anyone out, not leave anyone behind, not forget any of our sisters. So that's what we do here. Founded by myself and Dr. Regina Hansen of Doctors Community Hospital. We opened last year. Right around this time, we were still putting up fixtures and getting an inventory. So it's really a blessing to see all of this come full circle. Thank you guys so much for joining me tonight. Yay. If you have anything, let us know. And we're more than welcome to host you guys for other events or groups or girl gatherings in the future. Just let any of our team members know how we can help in that. And it's complimentary. Okay.
When is your 1 year? What's the official?
October
28th. Wow. Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah. Wow. Time flies.
I thought what was so beautiful is Dr. Hansen is actually practicing and working with women who have or have breast cancer. And that just makes this place so much more special. Mm-hmm. You guys know firsthand what we need.
Absolutely. And it was our number one mission. And also, she sees a lot of women in her office who are in the wrong size for all. So that's why we exist. So I'm glad y'all found that to be true.
So thank you, ladies, for coming. This is our third annual Play for Pink Chat and Chew. So every year we try to, you know, raise funds for breast cancer research. Super important. This year we are honored to have a survivor. We have two survivors.
Yes,
as
we
well. So thank both of you, ladies, for being here. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. I'm Latalia Palmer. I was diagnosed. Do I tell my story?
Yes, please.
Oh, okay. I was diagnosed with inflammatory breast cancer, advanced stage 3, in October of 2017. I got my diagnosis over the phone because I had been going back and forth to the doctor's office, and I didn't have any more money for copay. And so the doctor said, she would let me get my diagnosis over the phone. And I had a friend who's a nurse on the phone with me, and I received the news. And that day, I was to hit the publish button on my first book, which was Ignite. It's a guide for single mothers, helping them to achieve their goals. And I hit the button the next day. I had to give myself a moment to breathe. But I don't know how deep you want me to go.
Go.
So just go, okay. Mm-hmm. So of course I was devastated. I found out that the cancer had penetrated my pectoral chest muscle. That's the top big muscle. And it was eating its way through it. It had already invaded my lymph nodes. I had a huge lump on my breast. If I could demonstrate, the lump was sticking out like this.
Wow.
And I was terrified. You know, I didn't know what was happening to my body. I didn't know what to do about it. Prior to getting the diagnosis, I think for about 2 months they were trying to diagnose me. And on August 20th, I went to the emergency room because I had a pain underneath my arm that I couldn't do anything about. Medication, pain relievers wouldn't help it. And I later on learned that it was because it was in my lymph nodes. So my skin started turning colors. Because it was inflammatory, it turned like a reddish color. And the skin almost felt like an orange peel. I had to look up an orange peel. So there were a lot of things going on that I didn't understand and was really confused about. And when I got the diagnosis, I called my family, and my cousin told me immediately, the first thing she said to me is, you have to change your diet, like, right now. And so in less than 24 hours, I was vegan. And it was okay because I'd been exposed to veganism before, maybe 20 years prior. I was a vegan. My whole family was a vegan. I have four children. And so all four of my children had been vegans prior to us starting eating chicken and fish and dairy again. So came out vegan. Within a week, they wanted to start me on some intense chemotherapy. So I literally, between October 13th, and November 1st, my life just changed. And I started this intense chemo on November 2nd. But before that, I launched my book. I said to myself and to God and to my family that I didn't know what was going to happen to me as a result of this diagnosis, but I could not let the disease take that from me because I worked really hard for it. My mom passed in 2015, and I promised her that I would write a book. And that was my last promise to her, and I was committed to keeping that promise. So we actually, and I say we because it took the whole village to help me launch that book. I cut my own hair because I didn't want to wake up one morning and find my hair on the pillow. So I cut my hair, but I had so many temper tantrums between the time I got the diagnosis and the time that I launched my book. So we did that, and we went in, and then I went into chemotherapy. I had four surgeries because I also have the BRCA1 gene, and the doctor told me that I had a higher chance of getting a second occurrence of breast cancer in my right breast and an occurrence of cancer in my ovaries. So they took my ovaries. I had a left side mastectomy, a partial mastectomy. I can't remember the name of it. But they didn't do the whole right breast because during the chemo, my blood counts and my platelets had dropped so low that I wasn't strong enough to do the second surgery. So we went with the full mastectomy on this side, partial on this side. So I went for about a year without the breast, and I did radiation, the partial hysterectomy, and then in February of this year, I went back for the reconstruction. And so they reconstructed by, they did what was called a D-flap. So they took skin from my stomach. It started from my belly button down. They took blood vessels, they took fat, and they literally reconstructed my breast. And so they had to take off pieces of the rib in order to get the valve, the vessels to the valve, and then of course put the fat in and then the skin. And so I don't have a nipple on this side right now. I'm supposed to go back to get the nipple reconstructed, but I was just tired of being cut on. And I wanted to feel normal again for a little while. And so this March was my last surgery. March of this year was my last surgery. So I feel like a woman again, you know. It was really hard to look in the mirror. It was hard to be intimate because I was ashamed of my body. Like I have four children and I never had a C-section, you know. I never had major surgery. Right. So up to that point, you know, I was feeling like very robotic, like a cutting board, you know. And I'm at a place now where I feel like I can share, and I actually enjoy sharing because I always meet somebody who's going through, and they don't know how to talk about it.
Yeah.
Some women are very private, and I was very private. I did everything on my own because I'm also a single mother, and so I didn't know how to ask for help. Like, my God. People ask me, what did I need? And I don't even know. Like, I didn't even know what to tell them. And I was like, well, let's start with the basics. I need food.
Right.
You know, and I have a daughter. I'll back up a little bit. My daughter will be 26 in November next month. I have a 21-year-old son, a 17-year-old son, and a 15-year-old son. All of my sons play basketball, so I'm a basketball mom as well, and everything came to a halt.
Mm-hmm.
But because of community, we were able to continue to thrive. And so the basketball moms put together something called a meal train, and they scheduled out who was going to cook for me and what they were going to cook.
Nice.
On any night of the week, right? And then I had a girlfriend who would come over on Sundays and cook Sunday dinner for us. It was just... It was the most beautiful experience I could have at such a traumatic time, you know? And during that time, though, for my sons, it was very hard for them to see, well, my daughter, too, because I had to tell each of them individually, and it was just the hardest thing ever. But they weren't used to seeing me laying down. They weren't used to me, you know, not being able to do anything. And so I had to learn how to ask for help, to call people over. Hey, can you take them to practice? Hey, can you take them to a game? Can you go food shopping for us? And so I say that to say it's so important to get help during this time.
Right.
You know, if someone is going through, because it's not something that we can tackle alone, even though we are, you know,
superwomen. So my question to you is, during, from the time of you, like, finding out to, you know, the process of, like, what was your mindset? Like, how did you not buckle? Because I know that could be a tough moment for you to just give up, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, how did you keep going?
So, it took lots of prayer. I mean, it took lots and lots of prayer. I'm an avid meditator, so I meditate, like, and I did my best to continue my meditation regime, even if it meant putting on a guided meditation as I was going to sleep. So, I did what I could to keep my inner peace intact. And it was very difficult, but I mean, there were days where I was crying on my knees on the floor, just begging for strength so that I can go to the car to get to chemo. You know what I mean? I have to stay busy somehow, you know? And since I couldn't get up and move around, I took another class, like an online class. I'm also a life coach. So I did a law of attraction credentialing course. And that helped me to remember the principles and the laws that are there governing life itself. And so it helped me stay focused on what I wanted to achieve as opposed to what I didn't want, because my mind would just focus on death, you know, and this thing ravaging through my body. And I could not allow it to have that power, because once it took hold of me, I felt like that would just be it.
Yeah.
You know, and so I just did things to help keep my mind focused, to help keep my mind on the future, being aware of what I was going through, but staying focused on what I wanted to accomplish from this experience, which was help that I had never, I told myself I wanted the type of help that I've never had ever in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even want to be where I was right before I got diagnosed. You know, I wanted to be healthier than I've ever been, more energetic than I've ever been, more youthful than I've ever been, and I feel like I look young.
You do.
You know, and so that was my mindset, though,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was on winning. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, God, I can't lose. Like, I'm the oldest of seven. I'm a mother of four. I have a lot going on. And so I just kept telling myself that and kept talking to God in that way. And I'm like, God, I have to make it, you know, and I couldn't see it any other way. And I told one of my best friends, I said, if I don't make it, it's not because I didn't fight.
Yeah. So can you tell me, I know we spoke about it a little bit, but triple negative.
So let me tell you what's awesome about this place. Dr. Hampton was the doctor that gave me my diagnosis. When she was on the phone with me, I had my girlfriend who was the nurse because I needed her to interpret things. Dr. Hampton would say things that I didn't even, it would only respond to chemotherapy. So I couldn't, what is it, HER negative? I can't even remember the other two. HER
negative. Yeah, that's, yeah.
Okay.
She's a survivor. Ah.
Yeah, so it wouldn't respond to any of the hormonal therapy or pills, so I had to go the route of chemotherapy. And then with the inflammatory breast cancer, I learned that 5% of the population of women who have breast cancer have inflammatory breast cancer. So it was a very rare cancer that most doctors had not dealt with. So I ended up leaving Doctors Hospital to go to GW because I needed a high-risk oncologist, and they had one. And so that in itself was hard to deal with because I come from a background where I'm used to being able to make a juice, eat a certain type of food, rest, go to a spa, take herbs, do things to help heal. Mm-hmm. But for this, I just felt like it was too large for me to do that alone, mm-hmm. you know? And so I continued to do that, but I also did chemotherapy. I also did the radiation, you know? But it was just too much. It was yeah. just too much to process. Yeah. yeah.
So now, like, journeying through it, what would you give or tips to women to be more aware of?
Go get
your bodies.
Just get your physical. I did. So I had a mammogram in April of 2017. It didn't indicate anything was wrong. Nothing. And by the time we got to maybe July, definitely August, I started to feel the small lump. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, I just had a mammogram. Mm. Nothing wrong with me. Maybe it's a little cyst, you know. But don't ignore the signs is what I would say. If there's anything abnormal, just go get it checked out. I shared, you know, I had a pretty healthy background. I'm very active with my children. Honestly, I thought I was the last person to be a candidate, even though my dad's side of the family, we have lost cousins and aunts to breast cancer, but I just felt like I was invincible, you know? And that just wasn't the case. And so I would just say, don't ignore your body. If you have something that your gut is telling you you need to go get checked out, go get it checked out. Yeah. It's worth it, and you can't afford not to listen to your body. Yeah. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in just not wanting to know what's on the other side of that that screening, but you can't afford not to know. Yeah. Because that thing just, I mean, from August to October, that lump grew, that thing ate through my chest muscle. Like, I'd have been out of here had it gone through the chest muscle and been exposed to the rest of my body.
Wow.
That's how fast it was moving.
Can I
ask a
question?
Okay.
So what does that mean for your daughter?
Because
you said about the BRCA gene.
Yeah, so we had to take the hard step and go get her tested, and
okay.
she has
she
it as well.
It. Wow. So but isn't that, like, Angelina Jolie?
Yeah.
Didn't she, like, proactively?
She did a voluntary vasectomy. But it was a really, because they told my daughter that she can voluntarily get her, have her breast taken and her ovaries taken. But at the time, she was 24 at the time of her receiving the positive results of the BRCA1. And that was just a lot for her. Okay. You know, she's like, I want children.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? I don't have breasts, you know what I mean? And so she has to revisit that decision. But for right now, they started her with her mammograms and her MRIs. So she is getting screened twice a year. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what is the routine age that they say that you to do your first mammogram?
Mammogram is like 40.
Is that too serious?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
was 40. I thought I had a lump, and then I went, and it was fine. But yeah, they say like 40.
That's 40.
Unless you have, you know, family.
Unless you have right.
Yeah. Yes.
So she was a so and oh, I missed a huge part of this. I got diagnosed in October. My younger sister, who's 8 years younger than me, got diagnosed in November.
Wow.
And so with my diagnosis, she went to get herself checked out. and she went to get the BRCA exam also, and she has the BRCA1 gene, and she had breast cancer. So she survived. She had a full double mastectomy. Mine was filled with my body fat. Hers is filled with, what's the other stuff? Silicone, thank you. Yeah, she has the silicone breast now. And she's, how old is my sister? Whatever, 40, I'll be 45, whatever that is, mine is 8, I can't remember. But that's how young she is. And they were not going to give her a mammogram because of her age.
She went because I went,
but she had to give them my information to say, hey, look, this, my sister was diagnosed with this, and look, she has the gene,
mm-hmm.
in order for them to test her.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would fight, I would push, I would advocate for myself, or find someone to advocate for you and with you so that you can get your screenings done if you're under 40. I don't think that we can afford to wait anymore. I lost a cousin who was, I think, about 32 at the time. And they wouldn't give her a mammogram. And her mother had passed from cancer, breast cancer. But she didn't know that if she told them that, that they would give her the mammogram. Yeah. Yeah.
So what was your support like after you had your sore case? Because my aunt, she just had a double. She just had a double mastectomy on Tuesday. And she's struggling. She doesn't have financial income right now. My godmother is her sole caretaker right now. What advice would you give to someone who just went through the process? Does she have health insurance? I'm not sure.
If she has health insurance, I would say to get some type of psychotherapy. And I would also say to check with them in regard to the assistants that come out to the house. Because I didn't know this about my health insurance. Someone in the hospital had to tell me that I could get therapists and people to come to the house,
right,
to actually help. And so that'll take some of the burden off of your godmother too. But then also the therapist will help her get through it, because it's a mental battle. It's a mental battle, and it really starts in here.
Yeah.
Because as a woman, you know, you're losing a piece of yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what to do about,
right,
that. And it can be very depressing. And so I'm an advocate for mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would say. And I would say whatever family is available to just shower her. You know, I mean, my support group was so huge. I didn't even know that many people cared about me, to be honest with you. But I had to open my mouth and tell people what I was going through, because sometimes people look at us as if we're just the strongest ever, because that's what we have to be in the world, you know? And when we fall, we don't necessarily know how to tell people that we fall. And we don't know how to process it, so we can't always articulate it. So to the best of her ability, if she can say, hey, I'm really having a hard time and I need you, even if it's to come sit with me and watch television. I was in the house, oh my God, for months by myself until people got off work, until the kids came home. I almost went crazy.
Yeah.
It was horrible. And people were like, well, don't call it horrible. It was. I found a way to get through, but it didn't feel good. You have to know how to be honest about that, you know? So I would say those three things. If she has the health insurance, or if the hospital provides the service, the therapy, the aid to come in and help, and even if somebody can come in and help clean up.
You know, I told my husband, go, because she doesn't even, like, she's not going to ask for help. She needs to eat. She was too weak to go downstairs and confirm.
Yep.
And you're not supposed to be eating all that junk. You need to have a healthy meal.
Yeah.
So, you know, even, you know,
absolutely.
Anybody that meal prepping, you're looking at that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had meal prep to somebody to come and meal prep for me, because And like you said, you're too weak to stand up and cook a whole meal. So it, let me tell you something. It was a celebration when I was able to stand up and cook. Mm-hmm. The kids celebrated. They were so happy. Mm-hmm. But like she said, you don't need the junk food, but sometimes that's all you can grab.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's, that's important too. But just gathering people around to do the little things to help her feel loved and supported. Because it's a very lonely experience.
There are also some organizations that provide a lot of support. We know about the really big ones,
yeah.
But there are some smaller ones that probably can kind of help and support too.
Yeah.
But it is definitely a mind game.
Yeah.
And it's really out of mind over matter.
Yes.
And it's hard because your body, you feel like your body's rejecting you. And how do you get that back? Because you've been with yourself all your life. You know, all your life you've been with yourself. And then you have an invader that comes in, you're going to kind of take over and wreak havoc. I understand the mental piece. As strong as we want to be, that's the battle. That's the battle. That's even worse than the condition itself.
Right.
And the aftermath can oftentimes be worse than the episode. And it's really, really putting yourself in a space where you can get the support that you want to receive the support. You know, I thank God my family was there for me. And I had an army of people looking after me. I had people from my church that were coming and bringing meals. I never had to worry about what we were going to eat. They didn't just cook for me, they cooked for the whole family. And it was just a blessing to have that support. And I understand what it feels like when you don't feel like you have that support. But you got support.
Yes.
Is she
Yeah, she's in Virginia.
Okay.
Oh,
that's long.
Yeah.
And dealing with chemo, right?
Yeah.
You're talking and you'd be mid sentence and it's just gone.
It's just gone. Waiting for somebody to complete a sentence, right?
Yeah.
It's very, very real.
Yeah,
very,
that's very, very real. So that mental piece is something. And I do, my day job is procurement. I'm a contracting officer. I can't afford to be in this sentence for getting things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was really hard to, transition back into the real. It's kind of like being in the army and transitioning back into civilian life, right? And so you get back out and you start driving and it's like, oh, they're moving too fast. I'm going to stay in the super slow lane because I can't even think fast enough to move into the next lane, you know? So ordinary things like that, it just gets really hard to do.
Yeah.
Well,
thank you so much for taking
absolutely.
The time to even speak to us.
Oh, absolutely. This is exciting. I mean, what else can I do to help others come through such a traumatic time? And I feel like because I was given back the gift of life, I owe that to the world.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I remember, and I know you can relate, feeling like my life was being sucked out of me. Like, I don't know who I am without energy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a high energy person. And like, right now, I need some food. Like, I feel my energy sinking, but I have control over it. You know what I mean? During that time, I didn't have any control over it. And I felt like I wasn't gonna make it. And so I'm happy to be in a place where I can even talk without having to stop and catch my breath. You know what I mean? So I'm grateful for the opportunity and the invitation.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Mommy Matters, The Wind Down. If you haven't already, head on over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and review. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Mommy Matters with an extra S. Follow us on Instagram at _MommyMatters. And don't forget to download our Mommy Matters community app, available in the Apple App Store and in the Google Play Store.